big words. Baptist distinctives. Why are we a Baptist church? How many of you know the name of our church? Okay, at least half of us. I'm glad that you do. The rest of you, we are at Jerul Baptist Church. And it's interesting. Every name has a meaning. Does anybody know the meaning of your name? Okay, Alexia. Defender of man. She keeps Spencer safe. Hannah.
Grace.
Grace. Amen. Anybody else? Karen.
Pure.
Names have meanings. And it's interesting, even as we look in the Bible and we see some of these truths about names, that they do have meanings. Now, the paper that Dan has handed out to you, Baptist Distinctives, if you did not get one from Dan, anybody else need one of Dan's papers? It's a list of the Baptist Distinctives. Dan, right back there, PM needs one. Yes, Dan has one and Brendan has one. So if you did not get one from Dan, you need Dan's. If you did not get one from Brendan, you need one from Brendan. One of them will be blanks that you fill out. The other is for reference. So the one that Dan has is a listing of Baptist distinctives. We're going to break it down in an acrostic format. B-A-P-T-I-S-T, and we'll work through that. So the one Dan has is more of a reference sheet that you can continue to refer back to. The one that Dan has Brendan has gets into the whole reality of studies. We need four more. Let's see here. Could you do that, Sherry? Thank you so much. I will print off more than I did. I thought 35 might be enough. This is exciting. Hope you're excited again about this. Anybody else need Dan's? Anybody else? There's Betty Ann. You need another one of yours?
Yeah.
Sherry, if we could print off some more of these. And then we'll get those to you as we get going here. Thank you. So the first one again is the Baptist distinctives. And the letter B, we're going to talk about what? Excellent. Biblical authority. The Bible is our standard for living, not the pastor. I don't want to be your standard for living. Now, I want to live according to the standard, the Word of God, and I sure should example that, and our family should example that. But you don't do what you do because your pastor what? Said so. Ever. Never, never. Okay? Don't ever use that as your reason for what you do. Well, pastor said so. Well, wait a second. What does the Bible say? Biblical authority. That's one of the things we believe as Baptists, that the Bible is our authority, not the church, not church dogma. Church dogma, or dogma means what? Doctrine, teaching, if you will. We think of that sometimes with the Catholic Church and the Catholic dogma. That can change over years. We've seen it with so many other religious organizations that their teaching changes. But the reality is, the Bible doesn't change. We go back to the Word of God. A stands for what? Someone has said it. Autonomy of the local church. And we'll talk more about that. But that no organization is over us. I'm the pastor, and we as a church family follow who? God. We don't have an organization that says you better teach this and preach this and you can't teach this and you don't believe that. We are, again, it goes back to the Word of God. Then the P there stands for priesthood of all believers. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, you have direct access to who? God. You don't need a confessional booth. There's reasons we don't have confessional booths in our church. Because we don't need them. We have direct access to God. Dan's got the copies there. If you need one or the other, make sure you see him here. And then we've got two ordinances of the local church. Two ordinances of the local church. And that deals with baptism and the Lord's Supper. How often do we celebrate the Lord's Supper or the Lord's table? Once a month, we do that, generally on Sunday evenings, and we celebrate the Lord's table. Then there's the other ordinance, which is baptism. When does someone get baptized? Before or after salvation? After, and we'll talk more about that as we dig into the study. Individual soul liberty. Every believer has the liberty to choose what his or her conscience or soul dictates is right, and is therefore responsible to God alone for his or her choice. Is that true? Do I have the right to come to your house and tell you what to do and watch and not to do and decisions not to make? No. God never gave me that as a pastor. And I'll be quite honest with you. I don't want that. I don't want to tell you what you have to do and believe and how you can't do this and do that. You are accountable before God. Now, is there one place that we do have to set up some standards? And where is that? As we gather together at the church. And we'll talk about that. Yet, individual soul liberty, yes, you have the right to do what you please before God. You have to, again, base it on our very first one, biblical authority. But it's between you and God. But when we get together as a church family, there are some standards we do have to put into place. And then we have saved church membership. Can anybody join Jeruel Baptist Church? Just anybody? No, why not? One of those requirements is you've got to be saved. The Bible makes it very plain and clear. You need to be saved to join a local church. And then we've got two offices in the local church, and those are pastor and deacons. And we'll talk more about that. There were some questions that have come into me. What are our deacons and what are the role? What's the responsibility? Again, we'll get into that. Sunday school superintendent, we just voted on it last Sunday night, but is that a biblical office? No. But does that mean we shouldn't do it? No, it's just another thing that we can use, we can choose to help. But the office is a special position that God has allowed, and certain requirements even biblically that we see, God's got pastor deacons. We'll dig more into that. And then we've got separation, political, ecclesiastical, and personal. What does that mean? What is ecclesiastical? Churches. There's reasons that we can't get together with the other churches in our neighborhood and area and do the work of the ministry. And yet, are there some churches we can get together with and do stuff? Sure are. Man, I'm excited about some things hopefully Pastor Scott and I have talked about that we can do this year together as church families. There is a point we can have fellowship. But there's a point we can't have fellowship with some churches. And so we've got to go through again, goes always all the way back to letter B. What is it? Biblical authority. And so as Baptists, these are the things we will discuss and go through. So that is a sheet for reference. We'll continue to work through that as we go through our study. Again, if you have questions specifically pertaining with some of these, or maybe it's something else, why don't we do this as a church family, or why do we do this? This is a study that I want to address those things, again, from the Bible, some biblical principles in why we set certain things and do certain things. So if you've got questions, you want to write those down and get those to me, whether it's getting them to your Sunday school teacher or turning them to me directly, we'll be glad to deal with those. We'll take some Sundays in between and deal with some of those questions as they come in. Okay, if you have a hand, I want you to raise it. Okay, that's everybody, right? Okay, keep your hand up. You'll get to put it down in just a second, okay? Let's see, here we go. Keep your hand up if you agree with my statement. You may put it down if you disagree. Once your hand is down, it what? Stays down. Some of you might say, well, I'm putting it down right away because I'm tired. Sometimes I enjoy watching the sunrise. Sometimes. That's pretty sometimes, okay? I almost always get up by 7 on weekdays. Almost always. If you agree with that, keep your hand up. I don't need an alarm clock to wake me up each morning. I just do it on my own. Man, the hands, look at them. They're dropping like flies. Here we go. I like to get most of my work done before noon. Man, everything's got to get done before noon. Some of you might say, man, nothing gets done before noon. Here we go. Let's see here. I agree with Ben Franklin, who said, early to bed, early to rise makes one healthy, wealthy, and wise. Okay. There we go. We've got, what, two left. Is that correct? Two of you. Three morning people. We would call them what? Morning people. Now, you morning people, keep your hand up real quick. I want everybody to look at you. Oh, we've got four. I see four. Jimmy's in the back there, too. Okay. So, we've got four of you that we would call morning people. Now, as we asked questions, it narrowed the group down one by one, didn't it? Okay, you can put your hands down. We saw those four, and they are an elite group that some of us are so glad we're not part of, right? Man, I'm glad I'm not part of that group. But others are like, man, that's where I am, or man, maybe that's where I want to be, however it may be. The reality is there is a difference. And there are common practices that they have. We went through some of those. Maybe you had some of them, but you didn't have others. And man, maybe you enjoy the sunrise sometimes, but sure not every day. Maybe you can wake up every once in a while without an alarm, but it's like 10 or 11 in the morning. Or, you know, whatever it may be. We go through some of those things. We have some similarities, and yet there's only four of them that had an agreement on all of those. Now, sometimes when we think about church doctrine and churches, we say, well, that's a church, that's a church. Why can't I just go join whatever church I want to be part of? Or why can't I just go to that church? Or as a church, why can't we just do other things with all the area churches? Because not all churches what? Agree. And so we're going to go through this. You're blank there. As Baptists, we share common beliefs. We share common beliefs. And we call those, in the parentheses there, we call those what? Baptist distinctives. We share common beliefs which unite us as a group. Now, how many of you would say there's like 100 varieties of Baptist churches? Now, if you've gone to Baptist churches, you would agree there are like 100 varieties of Baptist churches. I remember as a teenager, I taught in five-day clubs. How many of you know what five-day clubs are with CF? And I enjoyed that. One of the areas I went to, I met a pastor at the church, the host family's pastor. And he said, yeah, I'm the pastor here. We're a conservative Baptist church, but I want you to know we aren't conservative. That was just the branch of Baptist church they were part of. And what we would think of as conservative, he wanted me as a teenager to make sure I knew he was not it. And do you think that put a lot of respect in my heart for him? No. Now I respected his office as pastor, but man, he lost a lot of my respect immediately. It's like, wait a second. As Baptists, we stand for something. What the Word of God teaches. So it's common beliefs. There's some common beliefs that Baptist churches share, but just because a church has the name Baptist doesn't mean it's the same. Bass and Debbie, they went up north to, Manistique a few months ago, and they visited a church and they said, they're so glad for Jeruel Baptist Church. And you know, maybe, I hope you go to church on vacation and you find some other churches, but just because it's a Baptist church doesn't mean it's the same, does it? And man, by the way, if you're going on vacation, you want help finding a good Baptist church you can attend on vacation, I'd be glad to help you. We've got a lot of resources for that. But again, just because it's got Baptist doesn't mean it's the same. We've got some basic beliefs, but again, we narrow that down. But here we go. When someone says, I'm Catholic or Lutheran, it declares their belief system. You know, when I go and I'll ask someone, hey, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Well, I'm Catholic. That narrows down their belief system for me. I have some general ideas of what they believe, and maybe they're not really saved. They might put a lot of stock into Mary. They might respect Jesus. But the reality is we've got to go back to what they believe. And that's where what this study is trying to accomplish for us. What do we believe? We Baptists got our distinctive name from other people. You're blank there. We Baptists got our name from other people. We didn't just call ourselves Baptists. In fact, it's interesting, Christians didn't call themselves Christians, did they? The term Christian was first used in a derogatory way. What does that mean, teens? Derogatory. Good or bad? Bad, right. Man, it was bad. Like, man, that's a negative thing. Yeah, maybe you've got a name, and I hope you don't, but that you call somebody. Derogatory. Man, it's the name you call them. You're stupid or whatever it may be. Well, the idea was when they were called Christians, you're a Christian. Well, yeah. Now, somehow in America today, it has become a positive thing. And how many people want to be a Christian? Like a ton of people, right? I mean, yeah, I like that name. We've got all sorts of religious groups that call themselves Christians now. Even in America, a lot of Catholics now refer to themselves as Christians. Not around the world. A lot of them say, no, I'm a Catholic. I'm not a Christian. In America, it's become a positive thing to be associated with Christianity. The reality is we aren't just Christians. In fact, the word Christian means little Christs, a little Christ. And so that name given to them that they didn't claim, they claimed it, but they didn't give it to themselves. And so we Baptists did not name ourselves. Like the name Christian, it was chosen by others. A Baptist has not always been a complimentary name, not always been a kind thing. Oh, you're a Baptist. Now, still today, it's not always a good thing. Oh, man, you're a Baptist. Man, you don't love anybody. Well, we shouldn't be associated. Have you ever heard that? We shouldn't be associated like that. Because Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples by your what? Love one toward another. And so the reality is we should be known for our love. Baptists, though some people may mean it derogatory, man, I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist. Sometimes they were called dunkers. Why would they be called a dunker? Why? Bill? Because we baptize not by sprinkling. I don't have a little cup up here and I say, okay, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that, why we don't baptize that way, why we have a baptistry and why we dunk. Sometimes we as Baptists have been called dunkers or reformers. A lot of times people like to refer to Baptists as some of the Protestant or some of those who have been Protestant throughout the years. We think of the Reformation, those who left the Catholic Church. But history really reveals that Baptist doctrine was before the Reformation. And we aren't just one of the other Protestant churches in America. We are different than Protestant churches. Many Baptists have been persecuted, even lost their lives for being Baptists. Is it really something you'd be willing to stand on, even to the point of death? Sometimes in America, we don't understand that. Often in America, we don't understand that. But Baptists throughout history have been willing to go to the point, even of martyred, being killed for their faith, being killed for being a Baptist. And they're saying, no, I won't back down from it. Why? If it's just a belief system, then who cares, right? Man, I tell you, I won't be killed for my haircut. I am not willing to keep a haircut if someone's going to say, man, I'm going to kill you if you don't shave your head all off. Well, I'll shave it off then. But there are some things that we've got to be willing to stand for. And throughout history, many Baptists have been willing to stand for their name. Again, we are Jeruel what? Baptist Church. There's a reason we aren't going to remove it from our church name. We are Baptist for a reason. And so we should not be ashamed to wear that label. Are you ashamed to wear the clothes you wore today? You shouldn't be. If you are, maybe it's something to think about, right? But we shouldn't be ashamed to wear the clothes we wear. And sometimes it's like, man, I don't think that matches very well, right? Or whatever it may be. But the reality is we need to not be ashamed to be Baptist. Yeah, I go to Jeruel Baptist Church. No, I go to Jeruel Baptist Church. I'm not ashamed. Now, I'm not going to be ugly about it. Yeah, I'm a Baptist, and what are you going to do about it? Again, they'll know us by our what? Love. So we've got to be gracious and loving, but we shouldn't be ashamed of that. Baptist distinctive study goal. Our goal in this is to pass on our Baptist heritage to our people at Jeruel Baptist Church. That is our goal. To pass that on. That we would let God continue to change us. And that God would pass that on even to our teens. And to those younger. Teens, there's a reason you're in this class. We want you to understand what we believe so that you, as you grow up, can follow the Lord. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. We think about the reality of God's Word and the passing down of our faith. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. Who will read that for me? Debbie, go ahead.
In the things that thou hast heard of me and among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also.
We teach others so that they can teach others so they can teach others. Teens, someday us adults will be dead and gone. And if the Lord tarries, his coming, he doesn't return yet for his church, you will be the leaders of this next generation. Will you be Baptists? Will you be Biblicists? Or will you just go on because, man, that's what I was taught, and I'm glad I'm done with that. I'm glad I'm out of the house. I'm glad I don't have to go anymore. The reality is we've got to teach others who can then teach others. It's your responsibility someday to teach your kids. Those of you who have already taught your kids, praise God. Man, I'm thankful my parents taught me. Now it's Karen and my job to teach our kids. And yet then someday our kids will have the responsibility to teach their kids. Well, we want them to understand it. And so we want you as a church family to understand, again, why we are Baptists. Paul is trying to teach Timothy to teach the church people so that they can continue to grow. It's kind of like children, grandchildren, church members, that idea. How are we going to pass that on? A study of Baptist distinctives will confirm our Baptist characteristics. A study of Baptist distinctives will confirm our Baptist characteristics. Why we do what we do. Again, if you've got questions, I ask that you write some down and throughout the study get them to me. But man, we want to deal with things, but it will confirm our Baptist characteristics. If someone asked us what Baptists believe, could you answer it tomorrow? So what does your church believe anyway? You got to get saved. Now, do we believe you've got to get saved? Yes, but there's so much more that we believe because the Bible says so. Again, that's what this part of this study is. We're Baptist because that's what it says on our sign. I'm Baptist because Pastor Swearing is a Baptist. Pastor Josh is Baptist, so that's what we are. I'm Baptist because Pastor Bob was, and that's why I came to this church. And that's not a good reason to be a Baptist. We've got to go back to what? Biblical authority. The Word of God. And that's what dictates and directs our lives. We could replace the term Baptist distinctives with biblical distinctives or doctrinal distinctives, biblical or doctrinal, because that's what the Bible teaches. That's why when I preach, what do I open up? The Bible. Maybe you've heard a message before from someone and you wondered, where did that come from? I remember one of the most crazy messages that I heard, the text was the Titanic. He had 7 points and he added scripture to 3 of them. And I'm like, wait a second, what does that have to do with the Bible? That might be a good biblical principle if you take biblical truth, but just saying these points from the Titanic and add in some scripture. No, we want to go to the Word of God. That's why as Sunday school teachers, we are very cautious, even of our material. The goal of our Sunday school classes, whether it's the kids or our adult classes, is not just to talk and do stuff. It's not just to get together and say, oh, we got together as a Sunday school class. It's to go back to the what? Word of God. You and I need the Bible. For every aspect. So as Baptist distinctives, we could say they're biblical distinctives or doctrinal distinctives because they're based upon Scripture. Has everything to do with what the Word of God says. Not our popular opinion, our preference, our worship culture. Oh man, that's what I am. That's what I want. That's what I want in a church, so I'm going to go to that church. Well, wait a second. We don't just choose churches based on how we feel or how their worship seems, but on what do they believe? Before you ever join a church, you need to know what does it believe. Teens, maybe adults, maybe you haven't joined a church, or maybe you're moving on somewhere, the Lord will move you in. Before you join a church, you must know what it believes based on what? The Bible. And our burden as young adults, as you become young adults, is that you would understand what the Bible teaches so that when you leave here, the likelihood is some of our teens will not be part of Jeruel Baptist Church someday, right? How many of you adults say probably they'll move on? Sherry, right? You know that man, your daughter is gone. And praise the Lord. Sherry had an opportunity, Miss Sherry to some of you, had the opportunity to train her daughter. And now she's living an adult life, going to a biblical church based on what the Word of God says. And we want you guys to be able to determine, well, what does the Bible teach? What must I believe? All Baptist distinctives come straight from the Bible. If they didn't, we wouldn't what? Be declaring them. B-A-P-T-I-S-T, that's not just because we said so. And so those, we had to fit them into our acrostic somewhere. But we want to believe what the Bible says. So Baptist distinctives are based on Scripture. Adherence to Baptist distinctives will turn us into peculiar people. Doesn't the Bible call us a peculiar people? That word there in that blank you could put is unique. We are a unique people. How many of you remember our 4 morning people? They were unique. How many of you are glad you're not part of that unique group, right? Now, the reality is we are part of a unique group as a Baptist church. We are different. And being part of a Baptist church will help to make us peculiar, unique, different than the world, but right and well-pleasing unto the Lord. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let's let God change us. And let's let God use our church to make us more into his image. Baptist distinctives are a package of beliefs which are based upon Scripture. It's a package. We can't pick and choose. Ah, man, I like that, but I really don't want to get baptized that way. I'm afraid of water. As a Baptist, that's what the Bible teaches, and I'm sorry, I'll never sprinkle you. There is a reason that we have in history have been called dunkers. There is a reason that we baptize the way we do. We'll get into that with baptism. But you can't pick and choose what you want to believe and then just say, I'm a Baptist. Baptist means something. I could say I'm an NFL star. And all of you laugh. Because you know that I'm not. I don't look like one. I don't act like one. I can't run like one. I mean, all sorts of stuff. We can claim anything we want to claim, but claiming something doesn't make it true. We can have Baptist on our sign and not be a Baptist church. Oh, we'll baptize whoever you want. That wouldn't be a Baptist distinctive then. I could claim to be Baptist, but then I'm really not. So we want to understand what we believe as a church family. Really here, we're going to start. We won't finish this lesson all the way through, but I want us to get started on this next section. Denominations. We hear all sorts of things about denominations. Baptists are not a denomination in the strict sense of the word, but many people view us as such. Again, we do talk about denominations because we see Methodists and Lutherans and so many different ones that we could say as denominations. Baptists are not Protestants. I already mentioned that. We aren't just another Protestant church. We were here before the Protestant Reformation. It's been a long time thing. There are all sorts of books on why I'm a Baptist, Baptist distinctives, biblical distinctives of Baptists. Again, we aren't just some other denomination that's out there. You pick and choose which flavor you like. Some of you have a favorite restaurant you like. And some of you hate that restaurant and you'll only go because you love someone who's going to go and eat there. We don't go to a Baptist church because that's what I like. Or, man, that they worship how I like to worship. Wait a second. It has to go back to what? Biblical authority, the Word of God. So here we go, a definition for denomination. A religious group having a hierarchy, a central headship, which has authority over its local churches. How many times in the news, especially you adults, some of you teens may not keep up on it, but how many times in the news have you heard of a church hierarchy voting on some big thing? Homosexual marriage has been a huge thing in the news with denominational churches. We vote as a church to allow this. And so we then see some of the churches of that denomination trying to separate because, no, we don't believe the Bible teaches that. Again, we aren't a part of a denomination. We don't have a central headship that says you must teach and believe this and practice this as a church family. We do have one headship, and that is who? Jesus Christ, the head of the church. Biblical authority goes back to him. So some examples of denominations. We've got Catholic, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Episcopal, Methodist, Reformed. We might even say Southern Baptist. Not to be harsh, but they do have a hierarchy. I've got family members who are part of the Southern Baptist Convention, and they do get together and vote, no, this is where we're going to be as a church today. This is where we're going to be and what we're going to believe and do. Again, there's a point of fellowship. But we want to be careful. What's the difference between a fellowship and a group, a denominational head? We have, again, individual soul liberty, biblical accountability before God as a church family. So it's a scary, it really is a scary place as a pastor. Man, I wouldn't trade it for anything. But who am I directly accountable to? God. I am to you guys. I am, yes, to our deacons. But directly to God. There's not someone that says, Pastor, you got to teach this. Okay, God, this is what your word says. I'm accountable to you. So we've got to see the differences of that. Local churches obey rules passed down from central headquarters. Pastors are sent from headquarters. Okay, you've done good at that church. It's now time for you to help this church because they're bad, so we need to move you over here, and they're struggling. Right? I mean, we've seen some of those different things in denominational heads. As you know, we didn't have anything like that as we were looking for a pastor, as you were looking for a pastor. And so local churches have little to say as to how their money is, tithe money is spent, or their missions money. It just gets put into a pool, and the denomination uses it. Missionaries, if any, are sent from denominational headquarters, not from local churches. Again, we see that even in the Southern Baptist Convention. So the key, it violates the Baptist distinctive, autonomy of the local church. So, is Jerusalem Baptist Church a non-denominational church then? In one sense, yeah. Because we are not part of a denomination. Now, we aren't going to say we're non-denominational. That has a whole other belief system that it carries with it today. But we want to be very careful as we go through that. So to be non-denominational is risky. If we stand for nothing, we will stand for anything. Right? I mean, I don't want to stand for nothing. There's reasons we have to say no sometimes. Do you think I like saying no? Bev, do you? Thank you. Bev's the only one who said no. I hate saying no. I struggle, and my kids know it too. Right? The reality is there are sometimes we have to say we can't do that. That's why we can't do that. This is why because we've got to be, again, what is the Word of God saying? Sometimes we just have to say no. And we will continue on with this study next week. But I trust that it helps you. Again, we'll see that denomination labels clarify a set of beliefs, and we'll talk more about that. Biblical authority. We need the Word of God. Father, we thank you for